the work of 10 photographers from the acclaimed Oculi Photography Collection, including Donna Bailey, James Brickwood, Tamara Dean, Jesse Marlowe, Nick Moy, Jeremy Piper, Andrew Quilty, Dean Sewell, Stephen Stewart, and Tamara Vaninsky. Oculi is a group of Australian photographers who have existed as a collective since forming in 2000. They are seen as a leading contemporary influence on Australian photographic documentary and art practices. Kent, starting with you, David Marr has commented that Oculi photographers don't leave their newspaper training behind when they venture into the field on their own behalf. Their ambition is documentary. What is documentary photography and what challenges and opportunities does it present?
Documentary photography is really a mode of photographing that really harks back to its beginnings in the sense that photography, when it was first invented, was used as a way of documenting the world. In that sense, in the early days, it was used to document an occasion, usually official occasions, family portraits, etc. And the photographer played an important role in ensuring that whatever he was photographing was lined up correctly, people were standing, looking at the camera, etc. And it was about posing people. Documentary photography in this day and age, it still uses that initial idea of documenting something. But I think what's changed is that the photographers don't wish to pose people. They don't wish to affect what they're photographing in any way. It is about documenting the world, life around us, things that happen, and essentially being a fly on the wall and capturing the beauty in our lives that we don't often pay attention to. It is about, for many of those photographers, it's about sitting, waiting, watching until, I suppose, the photograph comes to them, that that everything is aligned perfectly and they take the photograph. The other important thing, I think, to remember with documentary photography, even in this age of digital processes, that really the photographers are really aiming to take the photograph and that everything is in that photo. In the most part, I think most photographers don't do any editing after the photo's been taken. So essentially, the photographer is attempting to document the reality around them without any kind of artificial intrusion, I suppose, be it, you know, lights, etc. So the photographer is really using the camera as a means to document the environment. So a lot of documentary photographers do often work within print media. So the photographs that they're taking are to illustrate a story in a newspaper. And so by photographing the people involved or the issue involved, the photographer is really trying to disappear, be there to sort of capture what was around them, but not affect what they're photographing in any way. So I suppose that is one of the challenges and opportunities for the photographer working within a documentary tradition, to be able to enter an environment, document it using a camera, and not disturb that environment in any way, or shift meaning or suggestion within a photograph, that it is a straight kind of documentation of something. It is, when something is what it is, the photograph shows us that.
I think there's a particular set of skills that come with being a photographer for a newspaper, of which the majority of these artists are. They have to make split-second decisions about capturing events as they're taking place and really reduce quite complex issues into its essence in one photograph and make it represent, you know, some of the most important events in Australian history. So there isn't a sense that they are bringing that skill as newspaper photographers to their art practice, in that they're taking images that are, you know, candid moments caught very quickly, but often are relating to very big social issues within Australian culture and reducing them to a very kind of quintessential image, so that they come to be very simple, very they look like images that, you know, we could take. They look very simple, but actually it takes an enormous amount of skill on their part to create an image that actually represents all of the issues that they're trying to talk about. And I think that skill is given to them by being newspaper photographers, that they have that innate ability to take a photograph that stands for and captures a whole range of different issues.
In many ways, they're setting themselves a really big challenge in photographing that way, because we all know that the digital world offers so many opportunities to distort reality, to maybe make a photograph that doesn't exactly communicate your message clearly, being able to adapt it and make it communicate that. So they're going back to brass tacks in many ways, and that they need to achieve everything in camera. So they don't have access to lights, etc. It is a case of making sure that the natural light is right, the composition of the photograph is right, and that's going to take a number of photographs until they get that one that works. So many of these photographers are taking loads of photographs of the same thing until that one photo just says everything that they want it to say. And so it's actually a really interesting aspect of photography, and as I said earlier, something that is linked to its kind of use very early on. And it's actually nice that people are still working within that tradition, and not allowing the camera to take over. That it really is a case of the photograph that they're creating allows us to be a witness to something without us disturbing or affecting what we're looking at.
Absolutely, I think it's a really fascinating form of photography and something that we should definitely not lose. It's something that you can really appreciate the power of the camera. And
it's really is photography in its purest form.
Yeah.
It's undiluted by anything, and that is in its power, I think, as an artistic form.
I think in many ways that's why when we think of photographers, in the most part, we think of those great photographers who came from that tradition, who have documented the world for us and seen us and made us look at the world in very different ways, whether it be a whole raft of American photographers who during the war years photographed America, or European photographers who were travelling around during the wars as well and photographing what they were seeing. Those photographers have stood the test of time because there is an incredible honesty in their work, and it is really a fascinating mirror for us as human beings to be able to see ourselves reflected back without anyone really shifting and changing that.
Okay, Caroline. The title of the exhibition is Terra Australis Incognita, which translates as the Great Unknown Land of the South. How have Oculi reflected this concept within their photographs, or one in particular?
So Terra Australis Incognita was coined almost 200 years ago. I'm not sure by who. If anyone knows, they can let us know. And it's something that the Oculi Collective used as a theme, as a metaphor to base their practice and the collective around, that it refers to the uncertainty that we all face in a changing world and in a changing society, unstable future. And it drew my mind back to a recent exhibition we had of Joseph McGlennon when we pinned up drawings of kangaroos that early explorers to Australia attempted to capture this new land that they'd found through the drawing of the kangaroos, and trying to explain this strange thing through imagery. And that's what the Oculi photographers are hoping to do. They're using imagery to make sense of the world. So what we see with all the photographers is a snapshot of contemporary Australian life. And we were speaking, Kent and Jessica were speaking earlier about photography's origins as being a place where people posed. And within this exhibition, people are still posing, but it's almost like they're looking the other way and they're focused on their lives and how that reflects our culture and society. And we're seeing the Australia that's not posed. We're seeing you know, Australia looking the other way. And a good example of that is with Andrew Quilty's Cronulla Riots photographs, where we're getting really up close and personal with a side of Australian culture that most of us would really rather ignore. And it's that intimate portrayals of things that we don't necessarily want to associate with being an Australian. One of the really poignant examples for me in this exhibition is Tamara Dean's photographs of domestic life, and she did a series called Motherhood, and she's captured mothers going about their daily routines and small rituals like tea parties and birthday parties. And I was thinking about it, if a participant in that, we've all got cameras, we've all got phones to capture these moments, and if a participant in that had taken one of those photos, people would have been frozen and smiling and trying to represent the triumph of the moment and happy memory. But in the hands of Tamara Dean, she's captured ambiguities and emotions on these women's faces and captured this sort of split-second moments of uncertainty, of boredom, of emotions that we don't speak about very often and that's not spoken about in polite society. And that's the beauty of this medium of photography, that it captures things that can't be said with words. And then goes right through the spectrum to Nick Moir, who's known as the resident storm chaser of the Oculi Collective. So he's capturing Australia as it's represented through its extreme weather events. And that's something that Dean Sewell writes about in the foreword for the publication, that this is one of the reasons why the Oculi photographers have remained dedicated to their homeland, to Australia, that they've resisted the urge to take up fame and fortune overseas and remained grounded in Australia because of the light and the harsh, searing light and weather that has beaten down on this continent for millennia. And, you know, Australian society and culture can be represented through that, through the weather, through the changing of the seasons. It doesn't necessarily need to be capturing the people that populate this land.
I think what's also really interesting about that expression, Terra Australis Incognita, it reminds you of Terra Nullius.
Mm-hmm.
And invariably, they're Latin terms that have been applied by outsiders to this place. And in many ways, Australia is sort of the great scientific experiment, you know, being discovered sort of so late in the piece and then being picked over by anthropologists and botanists and scientists. This collective, in a sense, are providing sort of all the gaps between that. So whilst we know a tremendous amount about the flora and fauna and the geological aspects of Australia, we need to watch people within that environment to be able to tell the story of the people that live here. And so invariably there's a lot of assumptions made about Australia that may or may not be correct. And I think the photographers are allowing us to look at those beings that live upon this continent and how they live and the things that they hold as important and not important. And that's why, even within the collective, you have someone like someone referred to as a storm chaser, because he's interested in the elements, as opposed to others who may concentrate on the way that human beings have marked the urban landscape through graffiti, etc. So I think it's really interesting for these photographers to be able to examine our lives, our social lives, in this way. And in many ways, without documentary photographers, from the invention of photography onwards, we wouldn't be able to picture the past nearly as much, nearly as much detail as we are able to. It's because of these people who want to produce truth and the reality of a situation for future generations, in many ways, to be able to look at it and see, well, that's exactly how it was.
Hey, Jess, this is what Kent and Caroline have been talking about.
ocular photographers attempting to show the extraordinary and the ordinary. Can you give us a couple of examples of each?
Well, I think the beauty of the Oculi Collective is that every image is extraordinary, or its ordinariness, if we can say it like that. That it's really taking very humble subject matter, and by framing it in a camera and by taking a photograph and by putting it in the gallery's walls, you're making us think about that scene. And by doing that, you're making us turn something ordinary into the extraordinary just by pondering it. Mm-hmm. And really, I think that's sort of one of the great strengths of something like photography and something like Oculi, is that it can make us stop and look at our world with fresh eyes and look at it for its infinite diversity and its in many respects ordinariness. For example, something like the work of Donna Bailey, in which she just takes photographs of her children and her children's friends in rural Victoria. They're not doing anything grand. They're playing in dams, they're riding their bikes, but simply through the act of selecting them as a subject matter for art, they become elevated, they become timeless, they become kind of classic pieces in which it's a very specific moment in time captured and preserved forever. So I couldn't possibly say that any one image is more extraordinary than the other, and it's a very personal experience, the exhibition, that you will gravitate towards one artist. I mean, myself personally, I think the female artists, Tamara Vininsky and Donna Bailey, are looking at areas of the female experience of being an Australian woman that is not often looked at in art. But also, what I think they're very brave for, and what I think they should be celebrated for, is looking at the not so pleasant sides of Australian life as well, and making us not necessarily accept that they exist, but to understand that with all of the beautiful outbacks and the great kind of sort of achievements of the country, that we do have kind of a darker side. And you know, that kind of awareness of the many facets of Australian culture is what I think makes the work so beautiful.
Personal favourite?
Oh, it's really hard because, you know, how do you choose one work out of so many? But for me, I think there's a work by Dean Sewell that depicts a woman with a red dress. And for me, that work really encapsulates the skill and commitment these photographers, give to their practice. Essentially, it's an urban scene with a number of people walking around, but this woman has moved into a shadowed area, and all we see is her red jacket. Her head disappears into the darkness, and it's a moment where all of these things converge in a split second, and we get this quite incredible photograph that, on one hand, is quite surreal. It's a gorgeous composition. It's a fabulous use of colour and tone, etc. And that, for me, really says something to me about the beauty of seeing how other people look at the world.
Thanks, Caroline. It is very hard. I think I can't go past Andrew Quilty's Anzac in 2006, and he's a small, frail old man clinging to a pole at a bus stop, and the emotion captured on his face, it breaks my heart every time I see it. And it's
as Australian as a picture of Uluru or the Sydney Harbour Bridge or something. It's very Australians looking at that image would feel that emotion instantly.
And also, it says something very human about Anzac Day. You know, he's clearly a digger, but that says so much emotionally about the war and about in the war, rather than say a battle picture or a picture from the war. It's a beautiful picture.
And if you look in the background, there's a man in the background who has a look on his face. He's just been captured off guard, but it just strikes me as, you know, the skill of Quilty as a photographer, just to capture that split second and to convey the vulnerability of both these men and carry over that physical feeling of being crushed in the city. It's a very physical photograph for me, and I find it quite powerful.
Okay, well, for me, I think it's Tamara Dean's works. All of them are really striking, but in particular, Girl at Central, for some reason, just appeals to me because it's strikingly beautiful. Grey and white tones and a really incredibly beautiful young girl that happens to be captured in it. And I think the reason it gets my attention so much is because it really captures that sense of a moment in time, which is what these photographers are about. It's, you know, she's unaware that she's being photographed, and it's in a really mundane, you know, just a girl at Central Station walking through a crowd, and yet it's incredibly beautiful and incredibly powerful image. And she looks so strong and independent and determined, and, you know, it's just a snapshot. Mm. It's fantastic.
And what's beautiful about that photo too is that there's something timeless about it.
Absolutely.
It looks like a still from the 1930s,
yeah,
but
yep.
At the same time, it could easily have been taken last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also with that photograph, we're very conscious of it being, it's as if it's one frame out of a long
yep.
film. We can imagine what happened before, we can imagine what comes after, but all we were left with is that one
That's
image
right.
that is so suggestive.
There's a very strong cinematic quality to a lot of the images that you feel as though it is a sort of still from a film. They have quite often an incredibly strong narrative happening in the image where there's just one image. There might be a sole figure, and yet because of the composition and because of the positioning of the figures and the colours and the tone, they manage to create this entire narrative in one single image that you can walk around the exhibition 4 or 5 times and not be sort of bored by any of the images because they are so sort of multi-layered and so story-like in their compositions.
Well, Tamara's image in particular, I think it could be an advertising campaign, and we know how much digital enhancement and manipulation and goes into things like a modelling shoot and magazine editing and things like that. And she has been able to capture something in just that single shot without any of that additional manipulation, just with the camera and her artistic ability. It's impressive.
And it does really also highlight the importance of photographers like this, because the photographers of the past, the documentary photographers of the past, as well as those today, have a tremendous impact on advertising. They have a tremendous impact on our view of ourselves. And so that impact is usually not felt for many years, but as those images become more and more iconic, or they say something more universal about our experience, they invariably influence people, and in many ways they are the kind of the stills from the great movie about Australian life.
Absolutely.
And they influence people.
Fantastic. All right, we'll leave it there. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.